Seventh principle. This is moving into a new area. Mitigate past karma. So, first we're dealing with three principles of people doing things to us and learning to act in a wise way. Next, we're dealing with our own actions in the present, handling them, considering the consequences, creating no new negative karmas, and divinely influencing them. So we've got those three helping us with how we're acting, new actions in the present. Okay? Doing all of that, things are getting pretty sublime. Our life should be smoother than it was before. So, we're not overwhelmed with karmas from the past. We're not disturbing things in the present. So what can we do next? We can mitigate the karma that we're carrying. Mitigate means make it less. We can lessen the karmic burden that we're carrying. So that's what this is talking about. So we have an analogy, again, with the judicial system. So you commit armed robbery, okay? Saw too many movies. Whatever. Need the money for drugs, whatever. That's the usual reason. So you commit armed robbery, and you get caught, and you get sentenced to 20 years in jail. Okay? But you're really not a bad person, you know. You're not a career criminal who's been, you know, doing this whole life. As soon as he gets out, he's going to do it again because it's the only thing he knows how to do. Career criminal. No, you're basically a decent person, so your behavior in jail is noticed. He's a good person, acting nicely, good behavior. So what happens when you're in jail and your behavior is noticed to be good? Get a reduced sentence, right? They don't keep you there the full 20 years. So you've done something in the past, but now you're acting in an admirable way, so you get a reduced sentence. That's the idea of mitigating karma. The normal consequence that we would face from a past action is lessened. So there's an example that Gurudeva uses. If the normal karma we would face from actions in the past is to have a leg cut off, but through various actions we're doing in the present, that karma has been mitigated, has been lessened, it'll still come, but not the full force of it. So the example Gurudeva gives is, we read about someone who has their leg cut off, or we see it on CNN, the news. We hear about somebody else having their leg cut off, and it hits us. The whole emotion of it hits us, just like it happened to us, or like it happened to a son or a daughter, happened to someone close. You know, all of a sudden, we take on the whole emotional experience of having our leg cut off. So we experienced it emotionally. It didn't happen to us physically. And then later on, say on a hiking trip, we stumble and fall and we cut our leg. Not badly, but we cut our leg. And that's the karma. It came back. But it came back mitigated. Came back lessened. Wasn't as difficult to experience. So this is an important point, right? Why experience the full brunt of a negative karma when you don't have to? This is sounding good, right? Okay, so how do we mitigate karma? We have lots of different ways. That's why it's the longest lesson in karma management. So, go through them quickly. Karma yoga is the first one, performing good deeds, helping others in a selfless way. Doesn't have to be helping just people, you know, just helping the general community. It's one of the things Gurudeva even has the monks doing. We get involved in community service, helping on different projects here and there in the community. We put out a drug-free CD and printing aloha posters and so forth as help ways of helping the community. So just being unselfish enough to reach out beyond your immediate family, which of course is the people you're obligated to first, to help other people when you don't have to. Doing good deeds for others that you don't have to do. You don't, doesn't make you famous, doesn't give you any benefit, just makes you feel better. That's the idea of karma yoga. So doing that lessens our karma to some extent. It's not a powerful technique, but it does help. Bhakti yoga, devotion, worship, that is intense enough to cause us to receive the grace of the gods can change the patterns of karma dating back many past lives, clearing and clarifying conditions that were created hundreds of years ago and are but seeds now waiting to manifest in the future. So that's such a beautiful sentence by Gurudeva. I wanted to read it. So the key there is intense enough. Worship that is intense enough to cause us to receive the grace of the gods. I hear yesterday's puja was. Those of you who went to the Shiva puja, wasn't it intense? So look at that. You all got your karma mitigated. No extra charge. So that's an example. But it's two-sided. You know, there's two sides to this process. It's not just up to the priest doing the ceremony. You have to be in the right mood, right? You have to be receptive. You have to be focused. You can't be distracted. You can't be in a hurry in order for you to experience an intense moment of worship. So that's not easy necessarily because life keeps us very busy. Children keep us distracted. Problems at work overwhelm us, so forth. You know, it's easy to be burdened. And even though we're physically worshiping, mentally and emotionally, we're not. We're somewhere else. It happens all the time, right? We're divided mind. Divided emotions. We're worrying about the past, thinking about the future, concerned about others around us. We're not intensely worshiping. So it only works if you're able to intensely worship. So one of the ways of doing that is pilgrimage. And Inner Search itself is a kind of pilgrimage. So pilgrimage is taking time off from your normal duties to devote it to religious efforts, such as Inner Search. So what happens there? Well, you've lessened the distractions by setting them aside, right? You've had to arrange your business so you could be away a week or two. Maybe the kids are with the grandparents and so forth. No, you've arranged your life so there's less distractions, just for a period of time. So that helps be intense. You can prepare for it ahead of time. Some pilgrimages, people prepare a whole month ahead of time to get themselves to maximize the benefits during it. They just don't do it when they arrive. They're preparing and doing things for a whole month before they even leave on the pilgrimage. So there were many pilgrimages back in the 1970s and 80s that Gurudeva took devotees on to India and varying lengths, varying experiences, and sometimes you would see this, not all the time, but particularly if you saw someone leave and then you saw them when they came back. If you didn't go, you know, if you just, like you waved goodbye to everyone and then you welcomed them all back, you could see the difference in different people because you were comparing the before and the after without seeing the in-between, the gradual changes. So someone would look different, not just they lost weight or something, you know. Their face would be different. You know, they'd look like a different person a little bit. They'd come back and they'd fit into life in a slightly different position, a better position. Their life would go a little more smoothly. Well, why is that? What happened? Their karma changed. They worshipped intensely enough to change their karma. They received enough blessings through the temples they worshipped at to change their karma. So we've seen it happen in many lives. It's an excellent way to mitigate karma. And it's more powerful than just karma yoga. Because karma yoga, you're just on your own, so to speak. Whereas here you're having direct blessings from God and the gods, so it's able to accomplish more. So other ways we can generate an intensity of worship is the idea of a vrata or a vow. Usually excuse me. Vratas are taken for a fixed period of time, short period of time. Like there's festivals where you take a vrata for 6 days called Skandashashti or Vinayaka Vratam. You take a vrata for 21 days. So it's just for that period of time. It's like in the... usually you fast during the day and you go to the temple for that particular deity once during the day and then you eat at night. That's a common vrata, a vow in our tradition. Penance is another way. Prayaschitta is the Sanskrit word. So, prayaschitta is, instead of waiting for the karma to come back and punish you, you punish yourself now and get it over with. Why wait? They just sit around and wait. Get it over with now. So you may have seen, sometimes they show this on different educational programs on up on the Himalayas, people, both Hindus and Buddhists, walking around Mount Kailas, prostrating as they walk. Instead of just walking, they're prostrating. They take one step forward, prostrate, stand up, take another step forward, prostrate, stand up, go around the whole mountain that way. What a discipline. So it's a kind of penance. Doesn't have to be around a mountain. It can be down a path or around a temple. That's a simpler way. We saw a wonderful documentary on a Hindu sadhu who did the penance of rolling a couple of thousand miles from where he lived to a temple, just down the roads in India. You know, he wouldn't allow this in the U.S. Imagine someone rolling down the freeway with drums and everything, you know, people accompanying him. In India, it's done still. So he actually rolled about 2,000 miles. Every day they'd roll 10, 12 miles, you know, carry all their food pots to cook and so forth. There was about a group of 8 or 10 of them. But this one person was doing the rolling. Others would walk in front and behind so the buses would miss him and so forth. It's a real documentary we have, yeah. And we could give someone a copy of it if they wanted it and just let us know. So that was a real penance. You know, definitely changed the person's karma, I'm sure, quite dramatically. But you don't have to do something that extensive. But it gives a sense of it. There's another type of penance which is directly related to the misti. So the example we use is a teacher who used to engage in corporal punishment of students as a change of heart. Says, you know, this isn't right. I shouldn't be doing this. In fact, I should never have done this. I really feel bad about having discipline children in this way. What can I do? So the penance is to educate other teachers in alternative ways, like publishing pamphlets on it and giving talks on it and so forth, you know, making amends by trying to change how others who are doing this are still trying to convince them not to do it. So it's like in the drug world, if someone uses drugs, gets caught, goes to prison, comes out, and then tries to convince others not to use drugs. You know, if you've probably heard of programs like that, seen people doing that. Well, that's a form of penance. Definitely. They're compensating, they're eliminating the karma of having done that by trying to help others avoid that action themselves. So it's a penance that's directed toward the specific wrong action. So Gurudeva's comment on mitigate is, when pre-dawn morning pujas, scriptural reading, devotionals to the guru, and meditation are performed, without fail, the deeper side of ourselves is cultivated, and that in itself softens our karma and prolongs life. So, softens our karmas. Just to comment on that as the last point, it's important to realize we're not saying do a few things and all your karmas, negative karmas go away. You know, you won't have